strength and hope, you've got to have a prayer life. You've got to spend time with God. And so I just cannot believe, Brother Jamie, that we're tackling that subject. It's just unbelievable. And so that's the reason I've got to get on with it. Stop rattling. Acts 2:4 is our text. And then I've got a scripture in 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn to it, the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, so you can return. I'll get to it here in a minute. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And the fourth verse says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It is, actually, give me the light there, would you please? I'm going to get my right spot here. Maybe we'll not turn that knob on. All right, that might help me. This may seem to be a strange motive in view of the fact that this is the most spiritual of all dispensations. The outward forms of Old Testament days having now become spiritual reality, still there is a principle which can be observed in every dispensation. As long as man is subject to earthly fertilities, he is in need of at least a few outward symbols of spiritual truth. And this is God chose it. We don't question God, but God chose this sign to the believer. It was an outward sign. Right? Even in this age, external signs have been given to the church, and these signs are recognized by practically all Christians as a permanent part of divine worship. The Lord's Supper, water baptism, outward, that which is symbolized by these two ordinances is surely far more important than the ordinances themselves. But at the same time, if they had not been necessary, why did God so firmly establish them in the New Testament? Outward symbols were necessary. It's God's plan, all right, for these outward symbols. The very presence in the hour that it now is, that the true worshipers of God worship in spirit and in truth, when the extreme of the Old Testament is done away with, and then we walk by faith rather than by sight, is proof that we still need somewhat of the external. Now I'm going to get to the rest of it, but I got to rehearse a few weeks ago here first. Whoever was baptized in the apostolic day, he straightway spake with tongues. They at once received the Spirit, not that they saw the Spirit, for he is invisible. But God's grace bestowed some sensible proof of that power, of that energy. And because he is invisible, God seemed fit to give us an outward sign. That's pretty simple. All right. He made manifest to them that were without that it was the Spirit in the very person speaking. Now we know there is three in one. We know that the Holy Ghost is a person. Can be grieved. Only unforgivable sin. So if they claim that it's all one, it proves right there that it is error. Alright? They are three in one. We know that. And I ain't got time to get into all that, but that's important to understand that the Holy Ghost is a person. This quotation reveals clearly that the reason for an outward evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we should remember that it was during this present dispensation that God's grace bestowed some sensible proof of this energy. Therefore, to assume the attitude that speaking with tongues, because of its external nature, is no longer needed, it is not according to the New Testament Scripture. It's not right according to the New Testament truth that we no longer need speaking in tongue as an outward manifestation. It is the evidence. God-given evidence. And I don't want to reprove you in the class here today. But let's understand something here. All right? And I've seen, folks, I've seen preachers that I've been with 50 services. And I don't want to misjudge here. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. But if you really have the infilling of the Holy Ghost and you live close to God, and I know young folks, they mature and they grow in grace and they won't do it like older folks. But if you've been saved 30 and 40 years, all right, you need to have that evidence, yes. Initial evidence of speaking in tongues on a regular basis. Not once a year. And let's question our relationship, all right, with the Lord Jesus. That's what this is. If we don't speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and I could go into, I've seen it abused, I've seen it misused. How many know what I'm talking about? And we've seen the charismatic, we've seen it worked up. My son was talking to me, and I'm not going to tell you what he said, but I said, son, I don't care who is it that speaks in tongues, all right, that lives like the world and like the devil. I said, that don't mean it's real. And so we've got to have a certain amount of discernment, spiritual discernment, to know what's real and what's counterfeit. How many's ever seen the counterfeit? Yeah. We all have. So there is a real, we can't take time to get into all of that. But I know, without a shadow of a doubt, Brother Jenkins, what the real is. You know why? Because it's inside of me. And I've said it, I'll say it again, I'm not going to drum up some kind of tongue-talking, all right, just so folks will think I'm spiritual. If it's not real, then I'm just going to be dead. I'm not going to work up something. I've seen it in holiness churches. So we cannot argue the fact there is a real, genuine movement of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and it is real. I don't care how many misuse and abuse it, there's a real Holy Ghost of God.
Yeah.
I'm teaching. Amen. As we go further, point out that every aspect of God's work in the human heart is manifested outwardly in one form or another. While James, and here's what I want to rehearse. James, book of James, and we're going to get there, because I need to go there, stresses the outward. Paul stresses the inward. Both are in perfect agreement on the fact that the inward, by its very nature, must express itself outwardly. Real love, according to the Apostle Paul, as well as James, will manifest itself in a practical manner. All right? Heart belief will produce confession of the Lord Jesus with the mouth. Just as it will produce the bridling of the tongue. Faith and works, the inner cause, the outer effect, are inseparable elements in the spiritual life. Such a marvelous experience as a baptism with the Holy Ghost demands a marvelous manifestation. When we consider the mighty force of the onfall of the Holy Ghost upon the human spirit, what is man that he could restrain every physical and vocal reaction? How could man possibly remain silent when he whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain suddenly feels his tabernacle? How many believes our body is a tabernacle of the Holy Ghost? So I want to ask this morning, have you ever had it where you could not contain it? When you get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, you cannot contain it. You cannot keep silent. It's impossible. It's a higher power. Not something that man gives us. It's not our reaction, whether it be running or dancing or raising our hands or whatever it may be. When you speak in tongues, as the Spirit gives the utterance, there is an outward manifestation. I have never seen, maybe you have, I've never ever see. Now, when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I prayed for 2 or 3 hours. It was about midnight. There was 5 people, maybe. I wore everybody out. They went home on me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's okay. I had made up mind, Sister Mary. I needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was very quiet and very reverent. It was real quiet. But when he came, you hear me? We got shook loose. Because it's power that you cannot control. And listen, if you can control the Holy Ghost, then you don't have him. You do not control the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost controls you. And I know I've seen it happen in our churches, Brother Butch. We try to control the Spirit of the Lord. And I can tell, I'm not a novice, I don't think. But boy, I have a time when the Spirit of the Lord comes in our services. I have a time discerning, you know, which way you want us to go here, Lord. I feel your presence. Do you want us to keep singing? Do we need to change the order of the service? I've missed it several times. But it's important that the Holy Ghost, all right, is the one that controls us. Right. Well, I hope I'm helping you. How could man hold his peace? Where from out of his innermost being, rivers of living water begin to flow with irresistible power. Let them who know not the power of the Holy Ghost object as they will. We can only look at the scriptures. The baptism with the Holy Ghost in the apostolic days was an experience in which the Spirit of God made such a direct and powerful impact on the spirit of man that a condition of power resulted. And in that overpowered condition, all right, in that, a language he had never learned, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I wish I had time to bring that in, Brother Jamie. I don't. I'm going to take another lesson. But that fellow is great on that right there. All right. When the Spirit of God makes the same impact upon us today he made on those early disciples, we too will experience the same conditions and that same heavenly utterance. That overpowering power of God. I'm going to tell you something this morning. There ain't nothing like, amen, the power of the Holy Ghost when he moves on you. You are not yourself. He does things by you that you never would have dreamed of. I have felt the Holy Ghost a few times in my life. And I when it was all over, Brother Jim, I said, where did that come from? Why did God direct me that way? Who was God trying to get? Am I preaching when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you? You do away with your notes and you go a different direction. You wonder, what in the world is God doing? I'm going to tell you, the greatest touch you can have is when the Holy Ghost falls on you and you are not yourself.
Right.
Ain't nothing like it. That's the reason, young folks. All right, it's wonderful that you're saved. But get some power in your life. Get the Holy Ghost in your life. Not just running. Not just jumping up and down. But get some power in your life. Hey. Oh! Oh, man. After quoting Joel's prophecy, the promise of the Father to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, Peter stressed this. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to all that are far off, any even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It is for you this morning. It's the basics, all right, of a movement of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And even though society is trying to get away from it, all right, that does not mean, and that's a popular opinion now, that you don't have to speak in tongues. It's false. It's heresy. That is initial evidence, and you've got to have the evidence. These words disclose that the baptism, and I like this, disclose that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is available to all believers, regardless of their varying mental, emotional, and spiritual capacities. It's for everyone. It is for the intellect. Now listen, they called Peter them ignorant and unlearned men. All right, they had something that the hierarchy of that day didn't have. And that's the reason they called them ignorant and unlearned. So a lot of folks misrepresent that. But you don't have to be intellectual to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You just have to yield. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be rich. Poor. You don't even have to graduate from high school. And I'm for education. God's going to use all kinds. He is not regulated to any certain individual. I like that. It's a gift of grace. Meeting the desperate need for all to be endued with power from on high. This means that among those receiving the Spirit will be intellectual giants, ignorant heathens, converts, unemotional persons, passionate, mature saints, babes in Christ. I won't forget during our revival, Sister Irene. Sister Vicky's not up here. Sister Irene got saved during that revival. She didn't look like most homeless folks. I'm going to tell you, about a week later, she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost right there during the worship service. Speaking in tongues. She was a babe in Christ. I believe I've seen it. You can get saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled all the same night. I believe it. There's no regulation that you can't. We don't have to work year after year after year after year. It is a gift of God. Amen. Hope I'm helping you this morning. I think I'm helping me. The disciples, and I'm hurrying through and missing a lot of this. The disciples had a lost personal presence in the person of Jesus, which could never be replaced, which never was to be replaced, till he should come again. In like manner, said, see him go into heaven. And yet, through the personal presence of Jesus, all right, was not to be replaced by another visible presence. It was most surety to be replaced by presence of a person. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going. My work is finished. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. But I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter. We're not replacing Jesus. I said, these are three in one. They all walk together in unity. And so he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Would it not be calculated to assist the disciples both to believe correctly and to feel grateful that the ever invisible Spirit was none less a person, a being, not just an influence? Amen. The symbol of the Spirit's complete control of the believer. This wild, untamable nature of the human tongue is portrayed by James in the third chapter of his epistle. Every kind of beast, birds, and serpents, and things in the sea is tamed, hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. James also tells us that the tongue is a valuable indicator of the quality of a man's religion. Boy, let her check us all out. Our tongue is an indicator of what kind of religion we have. Woo! Y'all quiet on that. That's what James says. Now there's a reason. You've heard it, and I need to go over it again, but there's a reason that God has to tame that tongue. Alright? For let a man seem ever so religious, yet if he bridleth not his tongue, his religion is vain. Well, man, I use that when folks are not content in their own life and they're always stirring up contention or talking about somebody else. Your religion is vain. Now, let me ask you, does that mean they're not saved? You're all afraid to answer that, aren't you? Let me tell you, they're not saved. They don't bridle their tongue. Y'all got quiet on that. We all said things out of school. Haven't we? What we do, we go ask God to forgive us. But if it's a ruling factor in your religious experience, you are not saved. Mark them that cause division. Huh? Well, it's all quiet here. That's the reason the Holy Ghost has to tame that thing. And control the tongue by means of true religion manifests itself manifests mastery over man's entire nature. In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Brother David Brock was at my house yesterday, and I wasn't very unhappy with a certain situation, and he politely rebuked me. Were you there, Jed? He politely rebuked me. He said, "You must still have that in your heart. You're still talking about it." I went, "Ooh." Come on here now. When we forgive, and the person had made it right, we forgive, we just stop talking about it. Hello out there. I didn't get hurt at him. I said, "Thank you." Not only is the tongue the last thing to yield to man's dominion, but it's also the last thing to yield to the Holy Ghost. It is an accurate recorder of the extent to which the believers have submitted to the control of the Spirit. We're not trying to teach people how to get the Holy Ghost. But when we're praying with you and we say yield, that's what the Bible means. Yield. Yield your tongue. Yield that member to the presence of God. It's yours, God. I give it to you. I yield myself to you. We're not teaching. We're just trying to tell you. That's how to get the Holy Ghost. I thought about having a revival. Start with Brother Ingram. Holy Ghost revival. And I want to get refilled all over again. I'm going to encourage everybody else to get refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, what a revival. You ever heard such a revival? That would eliminate personalized and trying to embarrass somebody that hadn't spoken in tongues for a while. So I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to reprove or rebuke you. I'm telling you, you need that power. You need the initial evidence, speaking in tongues, as the Spirit gives utterance. What a revival we'd have if we all come and said, "Refill me." Huh? It would make us different people. We could handle life a lot better if we yielded to the Holy Ghost. How many believe the Holy Ghost will guide you and lead you? And too many times we do it ourselves, we make a mess of it. And when the Holy Ghost gets control of us, He will lead us. And I'm going to tell you, we ever need lead, we need lead in these last days. Brother Ingram does. How many know society is a confused mess? Life is a mess. Our politicians, America is a mess. Some of our families a mess. We try to control it, we get in trouble. How many know that the Holy Ghost gets a hold of us and He controls our life? I promise you it'll be a lot better. Man, oh man. The disciples, now I want to go on here. Not only is the tongue the last thing to yield to man's dominion, it's also the last thing to yield to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go on. I've done covered that. All right. On the contrary, the Spirit would grant them full exercise of every faculty. Nevertheless, there were going to come times when eye would not be able to see, nor ear hear, nor heart receive. Then they must turn to God for a revelation by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Right? What the Holy Ghost will do. There would come times when we're talking about the disciples here, and we can go to 1 Corinthians 1. There would come times when they were to take no thought how or what they should answer or what they should say, for the Holy Ghost would teach them in the same hour when they ought to say. This miraculous speech, this creation of the fruit of the lips, is symbolic of the entire life of a Spirit-filled believer who trusts not in the excellency of man's wisdom or speech, but in the wisdom and words which the Holy Ghost teaches. Man, oh man. I think we rely more on man's wisdom than we do the Holy Ghost. You hear me? And what tremendous power there is in speech. Its power is an evil influence resulting from man's fall. Is shown very much by James. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We have pretty well handled the outward. Alright. The initial evidence of speaking in tongues. But look what kind of problem it is if God does not tame it. It is set on fire of hell. The tongue possesses great power for good, especially this is true in the experience of the children of God. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Angelic praise is not comparable with that which is sent from the lips of the redeemed. Was it David that said in the 107th Psalm, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so"? That's by our mouth. That's our tongue, our lips, our speaking. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The salvation of a lost world is dependent upon the tongue, for God hath decreed that by man shall the unsearchable riches of Christ be proclaimed. I'm not going to get into the rest of this, but let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. I'm trying to hurry with this. I want to know something. Now, please, you ain't going to embarrass me. I'm about too old anymore. I can't be embarrassed. I was embarrassed when Brother David reproved me in front of my kids. But I mean it. Come on here, y'all. You don't never need nothing like that. But how many is this lesson helping? I really helping you? Are you getting it? Man, I don't like to just rap. I felt the good Holy Ghost helping me. I hope he's helping you with it. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, there's a couple of verses that I want to read. Let's start with the fourth verse. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. And this is talking about, all right, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. I would that y'all, now listen to what he says. Apostle Paul says, I would that y'all speak with tongues. Man, oh man. But rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, it has been stated that tongues plus interpretation equal prophecy. And this is based on this text. Alright? Why then is there such a thing as a gift of tongues when prophecy is the plan of God? Gives directly in one's own language the message of the Spirit. First answer is that which God has done is always well done. And it is not becoming of us to criticize God. Isaiah prophesied, you know, and I love the scripture, and I've used it in my preaching by the Spirit. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. And Jesus himself said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Wow. Tongues are God's idea and operation, and they who criticize him and his plan do so at their own peril. Be careful. And I'm going to tell you, you better be real careful when you speak against the Holy Ghost. Amen. Something you don't know about. I know folks do it in ignorance, and I don't know that God requires that as blasphemy, but we that know to do good, and do it not, to him it is sin. You be careful how you talk about the Holy Ghost. Alright? And I will say this, and I'm even going a little farther, and it's not even in some of my notes. When the Holy Ghost comes, we need to be very reverent. And I'm finding out in our generation, you know, folks, listen to me. I'm not rebuking you. Alright? But when the Holy Ghost is moving, you need to be very reverent in the house of God. Now, I've seen the Holy Ghost tame the children down. I've seen the Holy Ghost stop the crying babies. You hear me? When he really falls, reverence should be in the house. And there's another topic I'm going to talk about, being reverence in the house of God. All right? I think we're losing our reverence. Well, I ain't got time to get into it. It's not reverent to sit in the house of God and text. It's not reverent. You hear me? Young folks, you should not even, young folks shouldn't even have their phone. If it's emergency, I know folks are on call. You can leave them on vibrate, your phones. But I'm going to tell you, if you can't live without your phone, it's too much of a God to you. When they really had a movement of the Holy Ghost, there was no cell phones. I'm not saying you can't keep them and the minds of office on vibrate every once in a while they ring. But I'm going to tell you, we need to reverence his house like them old timers did. And I can talk about talking or passing notes, a whole lot of things. All right? And we need to get back the reverence of the house of God. Alright? I ain't got time to get into all that. With men, tongues for a sign. old Brother Riggs helped me out with this. Some folks don't like to tell they get help, but I do. I've read so many that was false. All right, but these guys are right. They're old Assemblies of God and old Church of God way back there. Way back there. They had the real deal. Yeah. You hear me? For it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips while I speak unto the people. Yet for all that will not hear me, saith the Lord, wherefore tongues are for a sign to them that believe not. On the day of Pentecost, devout men out of every nation under heaven came together, were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? We do hear them speak in other tongues the wonderful works of God. They had not yet heard Peter's preaching to them. He preached to them later in his own language, but they had overheard the disciples as they were filled with the Spirit, spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On this occasion, tongues were a most convincing sign to unbelievers. There had been many other occasions since when this has happened, for tongues are set for a sign to the unbeliever. And we're embarrassed when folks come in that's not like us. But sometimes tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And you've heard me. I know you get tired. But when the Holy Ghost moved in them funerals, Brother Mike Isaacs, them folk, your family said, that's real. You hear me? That's real. And I think even sinners a lot of times know when it's just worked up flesh. I mean, I don't recommend that at every funeral I made for that. It was made for that. It was the will of God. It was a sign to the unbelievers. And it was. I mean, if you're speaking for yourself. It is stated in 1 Corinthians 14 that the chief use of tongues is in prayer. Now listen, young folks, close to this. Excuse me. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. The gift of tongues is the answer to their prayer and deep heart desire. The Spirit has provided the tongues of men and of angels with which to pour out hearts to God. Likewise, you've already heard it, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Tongues are a God-ordained outlet through which the Spirit of supplications will let his petitions ascend to the heavenly throne. It is our petition. Anybody have a petition this morning? I don't mean to embarrass Sister Mary, but when she turned in prayer request, she said, I have an urgent. I'll pay close attention to them requests. They're all urgent. They're all important. But you don't hear that on a regular basis. Now, I'm going to tell you how to handle urgent requests. It's not just Sister Mary, it's all of us. Go to our prayer closet. God hears us when we have an urgent need. You can come to me and talk to me about it. I can't do nothing. It might help you to get it off your mind. But as far as answering it, there's no help here. When something is urgent, I like it. Building up your most holy faith. Building up your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm telling you, we need that experience. When life is urgent, when you're in a crisis, go to your prayer closet. It works every time. Your mind's bogged down with the things of life, go to your prayer closet. The Spirit helps us with our petitions, and they're ascended to the heavenly throne. I don't want my prayers just to stop right here or stop at the ceiling. I want my prayer to go to the throne room of heaven. And when you get in the good Holy Ghost, that's what will happen. He hears us. I feel like a lot of times he doesn't hear. I know he hears. Don't feel like he hears me. But when you get to praying in the Holy Ghost, you know he's listening. Man, ain't nothing like it. Well, classes are coming up, and I got another whole lesson here. Don't laugh at me, Brother Jamie. I've got another hour's worth. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop right there because I'm at a stopping point, and I'm going to take another Sunday. Can I do that? Only one person. Where's my teachers at? Can I do that, Sister Esther? I don't like to take it. I know you spend time, but I feel like this is important to our church and to our young people. They understand speaking in tongues is a sign, not just to the unbeliever, but to us. And I'm going to get into that. All right? And so, man, oh man, I'm going to define the interpretation of tongues, tongues for messages, all right, the nature of the gift, and its importance. And it gives me a little time to get some more stuff. I got some more. I can just keep going with this. But I'll try not to take a little more Sunday. But Cain, I'll let you all have your... is next week...